But the very first lectureship of which I was invited to speak was in El Paso, Texas. I will always remember that lectureship for several reasons. First of all, it was the first lectureship that I had been asked to participate on. Second of all, I went to the Justin Boot Company and bought me a new pair of elephant skin boots that were so tight I never was able to wear them very much. They didn't stretch at all. I also had the opportunity to meet some of the preachers that I had only read about in times past, like Buster Dobbs and Guyon Woods. I did know Brother Woods and others. But also, I was excited to say I never want to fly into that airport again. If you've ever flown into El Paso, you have mountains on both sides. The airplane is still going like this. Out both sides of the window, there are still these mountains, and you keep going down and down and down. It's like you're down in the bottom of a bucket in the airport. Was really glad to get on the ground, and I hadn't flown very much at that time. But I don't remember much about that lectureship. It was a long time ago, but I remember the theme was great Bible chapters. And I remember mine was Galatians chapter 2. And to this day, I don't know why Galatians chapter 2 would be classified as a great Bible chapter. It has some good things in it, but not a great Bible chapter. But I remember someone else had Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know who it was, but he was a lucky dog indeed. Because Hebrews chapter 11 is certainly one of the great chapters of the Bible. Such a great chapter, we've even given it its own designation, the great chapter of faith. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah. We read about the faith of Abraham and Sarah and Joshua. We read about the faith of many other of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament and how we need to learn from them. Now, our text is actually going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, but let me remind you of one last thing before we leave Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, Paul is writing, if Paul is the penman, saying that these patriarchs displayed their faith in God, though they had never seen the promise. They died before the coming of the promise. That promise is Jesus. And indeed, they had all died before Jesus secured our salvation on the cross. But it is this great cloud of witnesses that Paul is interested in as we make some application from chapter 12. So turn to chapter 12. We're going to be using the first three verses as the basis and the text of our lesson today. This great cloud of witnesses are those patriarchs of the Old Testament. I've decided to read these verses from the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sins that so easily entangle us, King James says easily beset us, and run with perseverance or patience the race that is laid out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's really where we're going to go. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The NIV says the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We're more familiar with the King James, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considering him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Because of all that Jesus did for us in securing our salvation, it will cause us not to grow weary or to lose heart. You know, brethren, we have people who we go to church with every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, that actually are a living testament to what faith is all about. If we had any questions about faith, We could just look at their lives and it would explain faith to us. Therefore, to paraphrase what Paul wrote, we should use these examples to increase our faith, to help us relate to our faith, and use them and their lifetime giving their lives to Christ so that we are not weary and we do not give out. Brethren, we need to look to Jesus just as they are looking to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. You remember when Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I follow Jesus"? That's what we need to do with the faithful of this congregation. We need to follow them. We need to look to them, and we need to leave anything and everything out of our lives that's going to cause us to stay back, because Jesus is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. As he says in the book of Revelation, the Alpha and the Omega of our faith. And we'll see that even more as our lesson continues. Jesus begins in us what faith concludes. And I suppose we could say the other way also. Faith begins in us what Jesus concludes. Romans 10:17 is the classic passage talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. We're not talking really about hearing with these ears. We're talking about hearing with our mind and understanding in our heart. That's where faith begins. I had a dear friend of mine. I had a family member one time come and say, "Give me faith." And it can't be done. Faith in us comes by hearing God's word. Romans 10 verse 17. And that faith also looks at the life of Jesus. You know, think about it this way, brethren. Jesus came to the earth for you and for me. He lived that sinless life and still underwent a lot of persecution for you and for me. He allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to go through that mock trial. He allowed himself to be scourged and spat upon and the crown of thorns beat down on his head for you and for me. He allowed those Roman soldiers to nail his hands and feet. He allowed that Roman soldier to pierce his side for you and for me. Brethren, the gospel, the good news that we do not have to die because we do commit sin is for you and for me and for the rest of the world. Therefore, since most of you and I have taken advantage of what Jesus did for us, we have the obligation and the responsibility to share that same message with others. We need to tell the world it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He accepted the suffering. He accepted the embarrassment. He accepted the shame for us. And where is he right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's still thinking about us. He is still our advocate. He still makes petitions for us. His life is still our example. He is the roadmap by which we gauge our lives. We want to do what he did. We want to go where he went. We want to say the things that Jesus said. Just as Jesus came to seek and save, that's what we're all about. Seeking and saving those who are lost. And we should be encouraged to be Christians, knowing that Jesus said on one occasion, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Now the question of the lesson is how. I don't think anyone will disagree with the things I've said so far. So we ask the question, how? How do we possibly live the kind of life that those patriarchs did? How do we possibly live a life like Jesus did, how do we develop that much faith? Well, it's all contained in one word: focus. We focus our eyes on Jesus. We focus our life on Jesus. We make our plans based on Jesus. As one translation says, we keep our eyes fixed on Him on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Well, let's look even deeper at this passage. Brethren, we as Christians are obligated to focus our eyes on Jesus because He alone deserves to be the center of our attention. What's the center of your life? Is it a sports team? Is it your family? Is it your occupation? All of those are fine, well, and good. But the center of our attention has to be Jesus. Some of what we call Jesus' most difficult teaching dealt with not loving anyone or anything more than we love Him. And it's difficult to read those verses, but those verses are true. Some of the most difficult things Jesus ever taught was when, for instance, He said, we as His followers must be willing to take up our cross, that instrument of our death, and be willing to carry that into the world, knowing at any time, like He was murdered, we might be murdered. Now, I know that's really the way we don't hear it. Sometimes we gloss over that verse, but that's what Jesus is talking about. We must be willing even to give up our life in order to follow Him. That's why we have to focus on Jesus. That's why we have to keep our eyes on Him. It has to do with my thoughts. It has to do with my feeling, but it has to do with my life and my will as well. That's why He is the beginning and the ending of our faith, the Alpha and Omega of our faith. What He starts, we finish with our faith, or when we start with faith, He completes that faith in us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In fact, Jesus is that seed of faith that was planted in our hearts. You know, in the parable of the soil, Luke identifies the seed as the Word of God. The seed was sown, and the seed, some seed was taken away, burned up, it died. Some, though, bore fruit, bore many fold from what it originally was. Brethren, that seed is Jesus. It's Jesus that is planted in our heart. That's what gives us faith. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. God's Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. He is the Word of God. Now, what we need to understand is, though, it's not all about us. I remember when I was younger, there was this traditional, unanswerable question: what is life all about? Why am I here? And all of those other questions. Well, they seemed to be unanswerable when I was 8 or 10 years old, but I can answer them now. It's all about Jesus. Our purpose in life is Jesus. You and I were born on this planet to carry out the will of Jesus. Colossians 1:16, for by Him, that's Jesus, for by Jesus were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, invisible and visible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one that set our course. He is the one that plotted our path. He is the one that's waiting at the finish line that we call death, when He in judgment will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's Jesus' words. It's all about Him. He is our example in life. He is our example in resurrection. And He is our example in death as well. It's all about Jesus. Once upon a time, there was a young teenage boy who was smitten by a cute little teenage girl in the same congregation. Well, for weeks he was trying to sit by her, but it seemed that her girlfriends always sat by her and he had to sit in the row behind or in front. But one day there was a seat right next to her that was open. So he sat down and they started the service and they sang the songs and said the prayer. And when the preacher started preaching, I know this was an exception because our teenagers listen here, but this is an exception. He started thumbing through the songbook. And when he turned to number 837, I'll tell you what it is. When he turned to that song, he looked at it and he put it over on her lap and pointed to that song title, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Well, she kind of looked over and smiled and she took the songbook and turned straight to number 581, which is, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Oh, brethren, to have that kind of focus. We are obligated to focus our eyes on Jesus because, as I said a moment ago, he's the one that plots our course. You know, it's all different today, but back in the ancient days when a ship was out at sea, they would guide by the North Star. All the sailors would guide their course by the North Star. Today we have compasses and computers and other things to keep us on course, but that's the way they guided. Brethren, in that respect, Jesus is like that North Star or that compass or that computer. We must guide our lives from him. I remember when I first got my driver's license. Actually, it was the permit first. You could get your driver's license if you took driver's training at 14 years old when I was 14 years old. Much, much, much too young. But I got my driver's license at 14. I had my permit. I had my mother's car. And I was the king of the world. Forgot to tell you, though, my dad was sitting on the other side of the car because I only had my permit. Well, I don't know if you remember this, but when you're first learning to drive, it's easy to overcompensate. You know, you need to move a little to the left, but you pull too far to the left. And then you're going, well, my dad said, "Shan, you're making me seasick." He said, "Stop looking at the hood of the car. Look down the road." And I did. And pretty soon I was compensating much less and staying in the middle of the road. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart, that's what Christians are doing today. We're limiting our sight because we're looking at self. We're not looking down the road. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's at the finish line. He's waiting for us. I think you see what I'm trying to say. We cannot limit our sight. We cannot limit our hope. We cannot limit our dreams. It's almost like this. We talk a good talk, but then we go and take a nap. And brethren, it just doesn't work that way. The North Star is Jesus. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He is the compass that plots our course. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another." And the best example is found in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus' disciples are in a boat in the Sea of Galilee. A storm has arisen. And they see Jesus, thinking he's a ghost, walking to them on the water. Jesus calls out to them. And Peter says, not James, Andrew, or any of the others. They remain silent. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come on the water." Brethren, we are 100% convinced that Peter knew he was going to be able to walk on the water. "Lord, if it is you, I know it's you. Bid me come to you on the water." And he stepped out of the boat. And for a first few steps, everything was fine. And then the Bible says he saw the winds boisterous and he saw the waves. Now, if he saw the wind or what the wind was doing, if he saw the waves, who was he not looking at? Jesus. He was not looking at Jesus. And he began to sink and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus reached down and pulled him up. And I think with love, but I think with a bit of sternness also, he said, oh, thou of little faith. Now, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was on top of the water. But when he took his mind off of Jesus and thought about the waves and the winds, and he realized it's dangerous out here, that's when he began to sink. Rather, from Peter's experience, I think we learned several things. I want to make mention of two. With our eyes on Jesus, with our focus on Jesus, we as a congregation and we as individuals can do some things that appear on the surface to be impossible. Jesus said, with even as little of faith as a tiny mustard seed, we can say to the mountains, be thou removed, and they will be. They'll be cast into the depths of the sea. With our focus on Jesus, we can do things collectively and individually that seem impossible to do. And the second thing we learn from that story is, brethren, I want to walk on water. And I bet you do too. Because that's where Jesus is. He's on the water waiting for us. Therefore, we've got to get out of the boat. Now, what does the boat represent in that story? Safety, security, dry. What is the water? It's a challenge to our faith. We need to get out of the boat. Brethren, don't call me a liar for this, but that's the kind of faith we can have. It might not be the kind of faith we do have. That's the kind of faith that we can have. We can have mountain-moving faith, or we can have faith that just sits in the auditorium doing nothing. It's time for us, individually, collectively, to get out of the boat. We've talked long enough about the things we need to do, the people we need to talk to, the souls we need to save. It's time to get out of the boat, get with Jesus, and do those things. And even if we start sinking, Jesus will be there to lift us up. It's time to move some mountains. Jesus said we can if we have faith. We can if we have trust in him. Brethren, we've not given up on this congregation. And we're not going to because of faith. We're still planning on filling this building up. And we'll do it because of faith. But we've got to get out of the boat. And so I'm asking you, do you need to give your life to Jesus? Or do you need to give your life back to Jesus? Just like running a marathon starts with the first step. Going to heaven starts with the first step also. You have to make that decision today. You need to make that decision today. You need to not pass up another opportunity. You need to look at Jesus. You need to focus on him. You need to trust him. You need to put your hands in his hands. And if that's you in any way, then the invitation is for you. So if for baptism or for any other reason you need to respond, please do so as we stand together and as we sing.